This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Now we're talking about this article that came out from CNN, and it talks about how the real message of Easter somehow is it's a Me Too moment, which they conflate things, they conflate ideas that aren't connected, they take verses out of context, and this is one example of it. Picking back up in this article, yet they were the last ones the men believed, talking about the women there. The Gospels make clear. The Gospel accounts show that these men initially ignored the women's declaration of the risen Jesus because, according to the Gospel of Luke, their words seemed like nonsense. Some of these stories even take the undertone of a dark comedy. The women tell of a meeting of the disciples, that Jesus had risen, and the men ignore them. Men make the same declaration later, and they are literally worshipped as saints. Jesus, though he didn't have a problem with sharing the stage with women, according to the New Testament accounts. This is a bad, bad mischaracterization. I don't know of any other way to describe it. It is an absolutely horrific mischaracterization of the scripture. That same passage that they are talking about. Look, the men initially did not believe. That is true. But they did not believe because they were women. Keep in mind, these are the same men that most of them had already fled when it turns out that Christ was captured. The exceptions of that, of course, being John and Peter, and Peter did eventually flee after he denied Christ three times, but trying not to get too far into the details of the story here. The men did not initially believe, but by the way, neither did Mary Magdalene, the first person that Christ came to. In that story, when Christ came to her, she didn't think that he had been resurrected. She thought that he had been taken away by some kind of robber, that someone had stolen the body and desecrated Christ's grave. So yeah, the men didn't initially believe, but neither did Mary Magdalene. And when this took place, Mary was very upset. She didn't believe that Christ had been resurrected. She actually sees Jesus and doesn't even believe right then either, because she thinks that Jesus is the gardener or the groundskeeper, depending on the translation. Groundskeeper is actually probably a better translation right there. And so it's trying to paint the women as these virtuous people that believed right away because of what they'd seen and preached the gospel, and the men are like, ah, that's just the women, don't worry about it. That's not what the scripture says. In fact, if you're reading the very next verse that it's quoting in Luke 24, if you're looking at verses 11, that's the one it quotes. It says, but these words appeared to them as nonsense. Well, it would to you too if you'd never seen anyone resurrected from the dead. It appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. The very next verse, verse 12, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw linen wrappings only, and there he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. And by the way, if you combine that with John's account, we find out that Peter didn't go by himself, that John actually took off running, and they literally raced as fast as they could to the tomb to inspect the story that the women had given. And there's no indication that there was a big lag in time between these two. So yes, initially they didn't believe, but they took it seriously enough to literally race each other to the tomb to investigate their findings. So the idea that the apostles, they just wrote that off because, that's just the crazy hysterical women talking. That is not what the biblical narrative says. And furthermore, where it talks about them being literally worshipped as saints, that's a mischaracterization even of the word saint, because saint is somebody that refers to any that are in the fold of Christ. As you can see from other biblical accounts, I don't have time to go into that, and that's beyond the scope of this study, but they were worshipped as saints centuries later in the church, but right then the apostles aren't worshipped as saints. In fact, they took measures to keep people from worshipping them because you're not supposed to worship apostles. Paul makes this very clear in Galatians. But anyway, that being said, it was literally centuries later before they were worshipped. Now, they were held in too high esteem, as Paul points out in Galatians. But this is a horrible mischaracterization of the gospel narrative. And just the minimum amount of research, and by that I mean literally just reading the story, tells you that that characterization is completely untrue. Thomas, keep in mind, also didn't believe, even though the other 11, all men, gave that account in John 20, 24 through 25. So he has 11 male witnesses there, and Thomas still didn't believe. This had nothing to do with gender or the credibility of the people that were speaking. It had everything to do with Jesus' resurrection being difficult for them to believe initially. The apostles doubted, but they didn't ignore them just because they were women. And that is incredibly clear if you just read the text. And I wouldn't call them racing to the tomb, ignoring them. So let's go ahead and read the next part of this. There's another peculiar feature in the Easter stories. The name of many of the women who are found at the empty tomb of Jesus, in addition to Mary Magdalene, the name of Joanna, Salome, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them. Naming women is not a feature of the New Testament, says Salen, the Texas Women University professor. Women's roles have been downplayed in the New Testament, she says. The women are mentioned or often not named. Consider some of the most famous New Testament stories. We know the names of many of the men Jesus encountered in the ministry. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, Jairus, the heartbroken synagogue ruler, and Nicodemus, the inquisitive Pharisee. But the Gospels name virtually none of the women Jesus encountered. They are instead identified by descriptions such as the woman with the issue of blood, the Samaritan woman at the well, and the woman caught in adultery. What does this have to do with the Me Too movement? One of the difficulties some of the women face when they come forward is the tormentors have names, but they don't. Many of them suffered in silence for years because of their tormentors had name recognition and wealth, and some of those men use that imbalance of power to intimidate the women into silence. This is a stretch I don't even think Mr. Fantastic could make. Trying to connect the gospel accounts and the fact that some of the women in the Gospels are not named as some kind of connection to the Me Too movement. First of all, it is true that women often were not named, but that's also true for many of the men. Were it not for Matthew 10, 2 through 5, and Luke 6, 14 through 16, we would only know 8 of the apostles' names. That's the 12 apostles of Christ, and a third of them are only mentioned in the verse that specifically names all 12 of them. Think about that. It was very uncommon for the men to be named too, not because it saw them as insignificant, but as John 21:25 states, the Gospels are incredibly brief, and so they didn't include a lot of detail, many times not even the names. If you're thinking about names of men that weren't included, you have the centurion, the leper, the demon-possessed, the lawyer, the blind beggar. So yes, some of the men are named, and so are some of the women. This was not a decision that was made by the gospel writers specifically to tailor to some of the men and kind of ignore the women. There are a lot of men that go unnamed in the gospel narrative. This idea that the gospel usually named the men and more commonly just notified the women by characteristics, that's simply untrue. Now, less women are mentioned overall because they encountered a lot of men, but the gospel does seek to elevate the role of women. Just because there are occasions where they're not named does not mean that there's some kind of inequality going on here because the men are usually not named. Not because they're seen as insignificant, but because of how brief the Gospels are. There's not a lot of room for detail in them. You think about it. This is literally God in the flesh, the most important person that ever lived, and all four of the accounts of his life can be read in an afternoon. Think about how brief that is. That's why a lot of these details aren't included. It's not because they were trying to hide the fact that women were involved in the New Testament. That being said, we're going to go ahead and read this part of it here. The early church fathers used this imbalance of power to silence the women of the Easter and other charismatic women in the New Testament, some biblical scholars say. When the New Testament was edited and canonized, women's voices like Mary Magdalene were suppressed. The New Testament, however, offers clues to women's leadership roles. Women served as prophets, benefactors, and missionaries in the early Christian movement. Christians often hear sermons about prominent men in the New Testament, the 12 apostles, Stephen, and Barnabas and Timothy, who risked their lives alongside the apostle Paul. But how many people have heard sermons about female leaders with the early church, such as Priscilla, a teacher of the gospel who was so dynamic that her name was often listed before her husband's, and when they were mentioned? Or how many people know Phoebe, The Apostle Paul describes in Romans 6, 1 through 2, as a deacon or the early church is a benefactor of many, including me, according to some biblical translations. And why do people continue saying that there were 12 male apostles when Paul himself says in Romans 6, 7 that Junia, a woman, is an apostle, and Beckman, the author of Jesus's, says the author of Jesus and the Eyewitnesses. Paul has no problem calling her that, Bachman says. In the passage, Paul says of Junia that she was an outstanding amongst the apostles and in Christ before I was. Okay, first of all, they defeat their own argument here. If the early church fathers were so determined to discredit women, why leave these obvious clues that you continue to point out? Also, I don't know what church you're going to, but I gotta say, I've heard a lot of sermons on women in the Bible over and over and over again. Not that I have a problem with that. They're actually in the Bible. They're actually elevated by the scripture, so I'm fine with that. But I don't know what church she's going to that ignores these biblical figures. Furthermore, this is a bad mischaracterization of A, the qualification of apostles, and B, the scripture itself. Romans 16:1 does mention Phoebe as a servant. There's not a different word for deacon and servant. And specifically, when we look in the pastoral epistles, the qualifications for being a deacon are laid out specifically to men. You have to be the husband of one wife. Therefore, you kind of have to be a man. That's what the pastoral epistles put out as a qualification for that. And in Romans 16:7, it states, "The great and Decorius and Junius, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are outstanding among the apostles who were in Christ before me." If you're looking at the Greek word there that is translated to outstanding, it's episemoi, I believe is the way to say it. I know it's a Greek word there. But what it means is of note. So what Paul is saying there is not that she is an outstanding member of the apostles. He is saying, when he says there, keep in mind, who are outstanding among the apostles, he's saying that we're talking about you. We're talking about the good work that you're doing. We're pleased with the work that you're doing with the church in Rome. Paul's not saying she was an apostle. He's saying that these people have been mentioned by the apostles in good works, that she's doing a great job. They want to give her accolades for that. He's not saying that she is a member of the apostles, because that would mean her male counterpart, who is also mentioned in here, would have been an apostle, and he's not listed anywhere else as an apostle either. There were only 12 apostles, and then you also have the advent of Christ being called an apostle in Hebrews. You have the Apostle Paul, and then you have the replacement of Judas when he fell, Matthias. That's it. Those are the only people that are actually referred to as apostles in the New Testament, and that distinction is there for a reason.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt, every weekday from 9 to 11, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.